project. Go to Lock City Home Center in Sault Ste. Marie or visit LockCityLumber.com.
Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff. Rich Calkins and Keith Gave in studio with you. JC will be joining us momentarily. And Keith, well, what's on your mind here on this Friday morning?
Good morning, Rich. Well, I guess what's on my mind is that this is a great time to be in the sports talk business, right?
For sure.
We got all four major sports going on right now. Baseball playoffs, obviously. The Red Wings are in training camp, finishing up their preseason. The Pistons just began their preseason schedule the other night in a very good way.
They did.
We got professional football, sort of, in Detroit, right, with the 0-4 Lions. And the fifth sport going on, college football. And, you know, college basketball camps are opening up. So, I mean, do we have enough to talk about today?
Yeah.
I think so.
We're going to talk about hockey first anyways.
No way. Well, we should. We should. Did you see the story in the Free Press yesterday?
I have been busier than hell. I haven't seen anything.
Really fun story in the Free Press yesterday. They did. It had been 2,000 days yesterday. Now it's 2,001 days since the last professional team in Detroit won a playoff game. And that was April 17th, 2016, when the Red Wings beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-0. Before a packed crowd at Joe Louis Arena in Game 3 of the first-round playoff series, right?
Well, it's not going to be the Lions that are winning a playoff game anytime
soon. It's not. That night, Andreas Athanasiou, Henrik Zetterberg scored the goals. Peter Mrazek threw a shutout.
Is there anybody from that team that's left on the Detroit Red Wings?
Negative. I don't think so. No. But the one thing interesting thing about that is the general manager at Tampa Bay at the time was a guy named Steve Yzerman, mm-hmm. who's in Detroit now trying to end the streak. But, you know, the question is 10 straight years now, since then, Detroit teams have lost 10 straight playoff games, 7 by the Pistons, 2 by the Red Wings, 1 by the Lions. Who's going to break the streak?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Pistons.
Yep.
Most of the prognosticators do not have the Pistons making the playoffs.
No, they do not give them much love.
They've got them in ninth or tenth spot.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what's going to happen with the lower tier teams in the Eastern Conference and the NBA. You know, not that it's a serious ankle injury, but Cade Cunningham hasn't been playing yet. You know, rolled ankles happen. That's basketball.
Right.
If you want to look at my ankles, I can show you what can happen. But that also happened to Cunningham in the G League. So, you know, you hope that he's not one of these guys that
at Oklahoma
up all
State
the time.
There.
I mean, he's a big kid.
Yeah.
And he plays hard. So, I mean, look at. That was Blake Griffin's MO. I mean,
right.
Griffin was the number one pick in the
Super
draft.
Super talented.
Right. Missed the whole first his whole first year as a rookie with leg injuries, and he's had a great NBA career. But you know, some guys are durable, and some guys are not. You know, what is Bill Belichick said it best? Your best ability is availability.
Yes, and Grant Hill was a little bit like that too.
Yes, he was.
A little bit.
Well, I don't want to get into that. That was shame on the Pistons for allowing him to play on that foot that was broken in a playoff series that was meaningless. There was no way that Piston team was going any farther than that,
right.
And it ruined his career. A couple of guys, you know, sometimes you have to pull the athlete away from himself.
Yes, Keith. For sure, protect
that's
him.
Right. Yeah,
from
I mean, that's what happened to Bill Walton. Bill Walton never should have played on a foot as early as he did, and so he had, I mean, one of the greatest – quite probably the greatest or second greatest college basketball player of all time, started on a great NBA career, completely derailed by injury.
And especially big guys. They have a history of foot problems, and you really want to, you know, guard those guys, you know, as much as you can. Because, again, that foot injuries and big guys go hand in hand.
No, there's nothing good about them.
I did like what you said about, you mentioned Pistons. First of all, about the team breaking this playoff streak, and I agree with you. I think that's the team that is is the best bet to win a playoff game.
Well, it could be the Tigers as soon as next year. You're already starting to see the discussion about Correa.
That's correct. That's correct.
You know, Wojo wrote a column about it. You know, if they can get him at under $30 million a year, they think that the Tigers, I don't know if Correa will take that, but that's kind of like their threshold.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of money to spend. Mm-hmm. You saw that Alavila said we're not going to spend it like drunken sailors. But I don't think buying Carlos Correa at any dollar is spending like a drunken sailor.
Well,
he's the number one WAR player at that position.
Yep.
That's so you're talking about if you don't know what WAR means, folks, that means wins above replacement. The Tigers' shortstop position was negative 2.8. So they lost 2.5 games this year because their shortstops are so bad. If you just bring in Carlos Correa, that's 10 wins.
Yes.
Yeah, above what it was this past year.
That's right.
Yes.
You put them at 87 wins. They've had 77
wins. In theory,
with
one move.
Yep.
And we know that that is the biggest hole in this lineup.
Yeah.
Yes, because it gives you that bat and the defensive ability.
That drunken sailor line, where did that come from?
It's a song.
Sailors spend 6 months at sea. They got nothing to spend their money on. They go to port, and they got all kinds of money to spend, right? The Tigers have been at sea for how long? Years and years and years.
Well,
they haven't spent a lot of money.
2016 was their last winning record,
they
correct?
Haven't spent a lot of money. You know, now's put their money where their mouth is now.
It's
funny. They're this close.
I had a buddy in the Navy, came home. He goes, man, he's got $1,000 to spend, and he's going to be home for 2 weeks. Two nights in, he spent almost every bit of it. It's like, had fun the first couple nights, and it was over with. So I saw it live and in person.
I spent $500 on booze and women, and I wasted the rest.
Well, that discussion, you know, I think it's really a toss-up. You could, depending on what the Tigers do, you could see them in the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree with that. I agree with
that. You know, there's already a lot. Look, even the media from Detroit is excited about the prospects of Tiger baseball going forward because, generally speaking, the last few years, the Tiger season ends, the news and the free press send out their grades, and then you don't hear anything about baseball.
Right.
But I think part of this has to do with the fact that the Lions, who wants to talk about the Lions? I'm not sure I do. I know it's part of our job here, and we will get to professional football or what passes as professional football in this town. But I think that's part of the reason why that discussion's going on, Keith, is because people see the potential. Everybody wants to anoint A.J. Hinch as a savior, and I don't see an argument against it.
I don't either. And you know, the guy that we dumped on a lot over the last several years, Alavila, as according to one of the writers, I'm not sure which one in Detroit, made a good point. He has a chance this winter to reinvent himself.
Mm-hmm.
If he makes the right couple of moves, and all of a sudden we're talking about Alavila as not the guy who ruined this franchise.
Right. And they're being ruthless. Right? They fired their AAA manager.
And he won.
And he had a good record. He did a good job. But he's not the type of developmental coach that they want at every level of the organization.
Well, you know, they're talking about giving Riley Green the opportunity to make this squad. And you know, Torkelson is obviously, you know, spring training is going to be very, very interesting. But that's probably part of the issue, Rich, is the fact that, well, if we do bring a couple of pieces in here and we stall bringing Torkelson and Green up here, how much better are they going to get in Toledo?
Right.
And obviously the Tigers brass saw the writing on the wall that maybe this isn't what we need in Toledo. I mean, winning in Toledo, it means nothing if the players are not ready to come to Detroit.
Right.
So, you know, obviously they like Double-A Erie.
Yes.
Triple-A, the Mud Hens, have got to be a little bit better because, you know, you could think about it. Obviously the pitching in the Mudheads. We got a lot of kids that came up and pitched meaningful innings in
relief.
Right.
That's right.
So,
yeah, the bullpen really overall this year was, you couldn't, I mean, that may have been the best bullpen we've had in years.
And they just hired another pitching guru, too, a vice president of pitching, whatever you, pitching development.
Okay. Well, Federer was doing a pretty good job, and obviously whoever was helping them in Toledo, that part of it was fine. Maybe, you know, everyday player development is not where they wanted it, and so the coach was shown the door. But, the Pistons will be interesting. I've always liked Kelly Olynyk. Mm-hmm. He's kind of an under-the-radar signing for this team. Mm-hmm. He already had 16 points and 6 assists. He says all the right things. I think he's one of these guys that can help the rookies learn how to be NBA players.
Right.
That's one of the things that's so important, Keith. We talked about that. Who was Siku Domboya or whatever?
Yeah,
he's gone.
Well, that's because he fell into the NBA lifestyle, the crap NBA lifestyle,
right.
Which is
right.
You know, there's a lot of vices
there
hanging
are.
Around.
He had 6 decent games and he went in a tank.
I like pretty women.
You can see it
on the
floor. Yeah, exactly. Not a bad vice, but. You know, you could see it on the floor when he played. I mean, at times he wasn't engaged. He didn't know what he was doing at times. You could see the raw gifts occasionally, but not enough to continue to hang on to him.
They won the game the other night, 115-105, without their starting backcourt,
right.
and/or Cade Cunningham, and played pretty darn good. I don't want to read too much into a preseason game. I get that, but the signs are encouraging.
Yeah, you know, I don't take any stock into preseason basketball other than seeing how the pieces are starting to fit together. So for me, there's really no interest in watching until Cade Cunningham gets into the lineup and you see what Casey is going to do with some of these things. You know, and plus it was against San Antonio, which is they look like they're going to be horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, their best player, Patty Mills, signed with the Nets. There's a conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Nets, they need more because Kyrie Irving is out on Jupiter still.
I have no idea what's going on with that guy. Speaking of baseball, a couple of interesting games happening last night. I was really surprised at the Boston's inability to score any runs against the Rays. I think you mentioned it last week, Keith. Tampa could easily win the World Series.
Oh, they're the best
really
team in
good baseball team.
They're the best team in baseball, I think.
And when you got someone like Randy Arozarena stealing home and hitting a home run, I mean, when you start, you know, putting yourself up at the levels of Frank Robinson, you do some things like that. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Well, you know, and they had 2 great signings at the trade deadline, Nelson Cruz and
home run last night.
Yeah, I know.
He's Well, that's the one thing he hasn't done in his career. You've got to think that the
World
Cruz is really wants a World Series ring. Tampa Bay's got it all. They're an incredible defensive baseball team.
They pitch, they hit, they great fundamental baseball.
What it appears that it will be an Astros, Rays, ALCS. Mm-hmm. That should be a really good series. I mean, the Astros have got a lot of good baseball players still.
How about out west with the Dodgers and Giants? First time those teams have ever played one another in
the playoffs.
Yeah, I was shocked by that. I didn't realize.
106
wins versus 107. They've always been in the same division, so, you know, it just, until wild card. Happened. It's odd that when the Giants went on their streak, you know, 12, 14, 16, they never met the Dodgers along the way.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, you guys know that I'm a huge Giants fan, and I did know that.
Okay.
But this is because I know that you mentioned I heard you with J-Bo saying that the most overhyped thing in sports is a Yankees-Red Sox rivalry. Well, folks, if you don't know anything about the Dodgers and the Giants, there's 3 rivalries in baseball, right? Yankees, Red Sox, Cardinals, Cubs.
Cardinals, Cubs, yeah.
Giants,
Dodgers.
And this is going to be a bloodbath.
It will.
Yeah,
oh, it will.
I mean, I would not be surprised, depending on, should go five games, because that's all these series are, is five games, if at one point in time there's not a beanball incident and the dugouts are emptied and real punches being thrown, because the Giants and the Dodgers hate each other. It's been going on forever.
The Dodgers were fortunate even to be in this game, because they got taken to the ninth inning against a undermanned St. Louis team. That, I mean, imagine 106-win team.
Well, the St. Louis is not an undermanned team. I mean, those guys won 19 out of 20 games to make it into the playoffs.
Right.
I like them a lot. You know, the bet didn't happen, but them on the money line in that game, they were plus 192. And I knew they had a legitimate shot to beat the Dodgers. I mean, they're lucky. I mean, Scherzer, I didn't think Scherzer would pitch a long time.
Four innings.
You know, those Cardinals are like the old Yankees. They see every pitch.
Yeah.
That's a good baseball team.
But they scored in the first inning, took a 1-0 lead, couldn't scratch out another run in the West, went 0-11 with runners in scoring position.
It killed me. I like the over in 7.5 runs there, and they didn't play any runs, as opposed to the Rays, who had what were 5-7 with runners in scoring position, and the Red Sox were 0-8. That's what happens in playoff baseball.
Yeah.
And you're going to see it today. You've got. Are all four teams in action?
Yes,
today?
All eight teams.
All four games are.
Starting at 2:00 with the White Sox against Houston, and at 4:37 Atlanta and Milwaukee, and at 7:02 p.m. Boston and Tampa Bay in the late game tonight. 9:37 Got to stay up late. Watch those Dodgers and Giants.
Yeah, it's and plus there's a couple of pretty decent college football games on tonight. So yeah, it's this is the best time in sports right now, guys.
Oh, it is.
How about last night? We watched the Red. I did anyways. I watched the Red Wings play.
Then I
went to the football game. Mm-hmm. Watched a pretty good football game. Matthew Stafford was outstanding again. And then went to the baseball game.
Yeah,
that was my bet of the day was the Rams would cover the 3.5 that they gave to Seattle, and they did. So we'll be talking about the NFL and collegiate football, what to gamble on and what not to gamble on. And what else have we got, guys, on tap? Rich and I will talk about high school football at the end of the day. Anything else that strikes your fancy before we go to break?
No, we got a lot to talk about the next 45 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But as we're talking about, NFL Week 5 is here, guys, and FanDuel Sportsbooks wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. You don't even have to be a new user. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. I do like the Lions.
Oh, you do?
Getting 9.5
learned.
10 points.
You never learned, do you?
10 points against the Vikings.
You'd be lucky to score any points.
Okay. I don't think they can continue to turn the ball over in the red zone each and every week. Okay. But I'm sorry. I like the line. I don't like them to win, but I like them with 10 points on their back. And then I'll build a same game parlay with DeAndre Swift over whatever his yardage is going to be, and probably Hockenson getting a touchdown, right? There's a easy three-leg parlay. The Vikings defense, take a look at the over and under numbers. We'll talk about those in a minute. But there's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win.
Claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win in the Monday night game, Indianapolis versus Baltimore. Just sign up with promo code WGRY, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code WGRY.
21 or over and present in the state of Michigan, refund issued to a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available at multiple sports in all states and mobile at the web. Gambling problems, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Face Off on Up North Sports Radio.
Fury and Wilder are back in the ring.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Welcome back to TV Guide here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, an interesting couple of games. Let's just go back for a few minutes and talk about last week in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Michigan really having zero problem with Wisconsin. The defense is really good, Keith.
Really impressive. Yeah. Really impressive win. 38-17?
Yep.
They scored a lot of points.
Well, Wisconsin's turning the ball over, and as I've been telling you, the more I will get into gambling, that is the number one factor in football, college or pro, is turning the ball over. And Michigan really has no turnovers. Dan Villari threw the ball over his shoulder at the end of the game to give up their first turnover. But when you're plus 11 or plus 12 this early into the season in turnovers, that's going to make you look pretty good.
And the quarterback shows he can throw the ball a little bit too, which really really is heartening to see.
That was an important game for him, I think, because he had at times shown that he can make some throws, some outs, and all that. And there's other times he short arms him and does things like that. And I'm like, and I listened to the game mainly on the radio because we had an afternoon football game up in Petoskey, and so I was listening to the 101.1. Or 100.3 to the game.
So you heard it on 101.1.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then it was. So I had the broadcast, going on the whole time, and someone in the press box had it on a TV two sections over. Oh. We're trying to keep an eye on it.
Through that's these, why your call of that game was so horrible.
Rich, you gonna bring anything to the broadcast? Oh yeah. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. But anyway, so I missed almost the entire second half of the game.
Is where Michigan asserted his
really,
dominance.
Yes,
really,
yes.
I mean, it looked shaky there for a minute. What's his name? The Wisconsin quarterback started to find his footing. They gave up a touchdown that looked like, a real uh-oh moment. Yeah. In 90 seconds, Wisconsin scored a 70-yard touchdown, and you're like, holy crap, here we go.
Late in the first half.
They go three and out to start the second half. They stopped that Wisconsin offense and separated the guy's ribs from his body.
Then
Michigan drives down the length of the field. In a typical, not typical Bo Schembechler fashion. They mixed in the run and pass a little bit.
Yeah.
They brought in McCarthy to run little bit of the option.
Yeah.
And, Michigan looks like a completely different ball club than we've seen from Harbaugh since the second year.
No question
about it. Like I've been telling you guys, what my observation is that Harbaugh kind of realized that he couldn't coach his team anymore, so he brings in all these new coordinators who are young guys, a lot of them that played for Michigan, that understand the Michigan theory, and he coaches the coaches, and the coaches coach the kids.
Players.
Yes.
That's right. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, really, it looks like a different Michigan team out there right now, no question about it. And I tell you, that going out to Nebraska, we'll see what goes on there. But Scott Frost would love to beat Harbaugh there, with Michigan being in the top 10 now.
A lot of prognosticators and gamblers love Nebraska. Yeah, the game's already been bet down a point. Mm. It opened up at 3.5. It's now at 2.5. And, Nebraska has been getting better, although State handled them fairly easily. I know that they were able to score some points. Michigan hasn't played in Nebraska in a long time. It's a night game. I wouldn't bet the house on this, but I think Michigan should have no problem beating Nebraska. They shouldn't.
Yeah.
Especially if they continue not to turn the ball over.
Right.
That's the death knell in the Big Ten, going on the road and turning the ball over.
Their 3-3 record doesn't look that impressive, obviously, but two of their losses are against Oklahoma and Michigan State, two pretty good football teams.
Right. How good is Oklahoma?
I don't think they're...
How good is Oklahoma, Keith? They haven't covered the spread once this year. And a lot of people love Texas in this game coming up.
The
Red River Shootout coming up.
Yeah.
The problem with Oklahoma is they can't block.
Yeah, their offensive line is atrocious.
And they don't tackle very good either.
Yeah. Well, Michigan blocks pretty well.
Yes, they do.
And I don't think this is a Nebraska black shirt team.
No. Right.
So, unless Scott Frost has got a whole bunch of trickeration coming up, and Martinez is a mobile quarterback, and has always given Michigan some problems. But I think that Michigan is going to go with this real mix offense, be able to run the football, don't turn it over, pass when they have to. You know, and Rich, if you were watching the first half, Keith, you know this for sure. Man, Michigan wide receivers dropped a lot of footballs in the first half of that game, man. They it could have been a way bigger lead. They ended up catching the football in the second half, but in the first half, a number of drops for first downs. So I don't think this Michigan team has reached its potential.
No, I agree with you there. They, you know, interestingly, they never won in Lincoln. Michigan?
How many times have they played there?
Once. They got beat 23-9.
What year was that?
70s?
23-9. I don't know the year. Since they've joined the Big Ten, Nebraska joined the Big Ten. They played four times, only once in Lincoln, and Nebraska won 23-9.
Well, we don't want to short shift the Michigan State. Didn't have a lot of problems with Western Kentucky.
Right.
It was a shootout that we expected. It was kind of an entertaining game, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like Michigan State can play whatever way you want to play them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rutgers has got – that's another game that's gotten bet down. A lot of people like Rutgers here. I know, you know, I thought they would play Ohio State way better than they did.
I did, too.
I don't know what happened there.
Highly disappointed in them. After they gave Michigan all they could handle at Michigan, they go home, and I thought, man, Rutgers, they're going to be really pumped to play Ohio State. And no, they laid an egg.
Well, I think this is going to be a slobber knocker game. Shiano has got to slow down that running game. The state wideouts are pretty good.
They are.
But what's the quarterback? Thorne?
Thorne, yeah.
Isn't he a Rutgers guy? Where did he come from?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
Shiano is going to have a little something for Mr. Thorne.
Yeah.
Rutgers can't block. I mean, the Michigan State defense could have a field day against that offensive line of Rutgers.
I don't think the state defense is that good. They haven't held anybody to anywhere.
But like you said, when they have to.
Other than Northwestern.
When they have to, they do.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a harder game. I like Rutgers to at least cover in this game. I don't like them to win, but I think it's going to be a really, really. It could be one of those 22-20 games or something like that.
That sounds about right to me. So, yeah, Michigan then, Michigan State. Hopefully, I don't think, you know, Michigan is in a good space here. They're off next week. So they don't have anything to look ahead to or anything else. They've got they're under the lights at night. I think the young coaches will have these kids ready to play, and I expect them to put on a show. Then they have a week off. They've got Northwestern, and then they've got Michigan. You know, the end of both Michigan and Michigan State schedules are extraordinarily
brutal. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's what we've come to expect in the Big Ten. That's what it's like. I mean, all
usually Penn State is up earlier in the schedule for Michigan.
Yeah.
Who does Michigan play coming out of the break?
Northwestern.
It is Northwestern.
Usually they kind of ease it back into the
after Michigan State has their bye, and then they've got Michigan after.
That's right.
Interesting stuff in the Big Ten. There's a couple other college games I wanted to go over real quickly because we like to talk about gambling here. As I said, Oklahoma is a 3.5-point favorite against Texas. A ton of people like Texas here. I happen to like Oklahoma. I think in the Red River Shootout, everybody's been questioning them. I think they'll cover 3.5 points. Go ahead.
You like Oklahoma?
I like Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I do too.
Yep.
I do too. I don't think either one of those teams are as strong as we're used to seeing them. But it's I've covered several Oklahoma Texas games. Always a really fun game to cover.
What's his name is Sarkisian.
Yeah.
It's his first Red River Shootout.
It is. Yes.
Oklahoma. There's a lot of rumblings about they better turn it around or they won't make it into the playoffs. This is a game that they're going to have to play well in.
Right.
So we'll see if Lincoln Riley is really up to
snuff. Keith, isn't that always during the Texas State Fair?
Yeah.
Also? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
At the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, okay.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
You cover the game. Halftime comes along. You can go outside and ride the Ferris wheel, get a pony dog, and go back and I've done that.
Do they have conies in Texas?
What do you call it? Not a coney dog.
Corn dog.
One of those corn dog things, right? On a stick, the hot dog
yes.
on a stick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hate those things. But but right in the middle of the state fair, it's a pretty cool setting.
There's an extremely interesting game happening in the SEC. Now, Arkansas, who was, you know, everybody thought that they would give Georgia a football game, and they didn't. And Ole Miss, who I thought would cover that spread against Alabama, and they didn't. Those guys are playing each other.
Yeah.
And
in Auburn.
In Mississippi.
Or in Mississippi?
Yeah, I'm talking about Ole Miss and Arkansas.
Okay,
respectively, they played Georgia and Alabama. You know, they're like the wannabes of the SEC.
Rebound week for them.
Georgia well, it's going to be rebound
though.
Week for one.
One of them,
And I think it is going to be Ole Miss. I like them a lot at minus 5.5. Georgia and Auburn are playing, and a lot of people like Auburn getting 15.5, and I'm like, why? Are you kidding me?
Have you seen that Georgia defense?
Georgia may be the best team in the country.
They're ridiculous.
The only reason why you're worried about the under is because Georgia might get it all themselves.
That's right.
The under is 47.5, but yeah, I like Georgia a ton, giving 15.5 to how good is Auburn?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've kind of played Penn State a little tough.
Auburn's always a fraud.
Well, except for when they win it all.
Well, that was a long time ago.
No, it was with Jameis Winston, or with Cam Newton.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. How do you like 10 years ago.
It's been Michigan has won a national championship in a less time window than Auburn.
True.
I mean, look at it. Unless you're Alabama, it's hard winning national championships.
Yes.
You think we'll see Clemson in a national championship game anytime soon?
No.
No, definitely no.
That window's closed a little bit.
How do you
like Iowa at Penn State?
That's a tough game.
That's going to be a great football game.
Penn State at Iowa is
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if it was the other way around, I'd really like Penn State. Iowa is so hard to win at home. Iowa.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Is that a 4 o'clock game? Or
yeah,
it is.
The afternoon game.
Yeah.
You know, feet to the, what is it, 1.5?
1.5. 1.5. Iowa minus 1.5 at home. Yep.
The over and under is like 41.
I still like the under. It's going to be an 8-6 game.
Yeah. Well, what was the famous Michigan game? The Chuck Long game, 14-12.
Yeah.
You know, this Iowa team looks like that Iowa team.
Yeah.
You know, lots of field goals being kicked in that game.
Right.
If you score a touchdown, you've done something in that football game.
Yep.
You know who's back, guys, on my radar is BYU.
Oh.
They're playing Boise State. BYU's looked really good. Boise State, this is not your father's Boise State team. I like BYU given 6.5. They're at home.
BYU is at home?
BYU is at home.
So they're
I wouldn't give 6.5.
Not playing on the blue turf?
Not on the blue turf. Like, who's playing who?
Oh, yes.
And in a very interesting game, Notre Dame's on the road against Virginia Tech. And the point spread's only a point.
One point.
Yeah, I really like the Irish to rebound.
Yeah, after that tough loss against Cincy.
And my Bruins took it on the chin again last week.
Oh, that was kind of a surprise.
Great football game, but it was nip and tuck, and then they just kind of let Arizona State score at the end of the game, and I don't know what was happening there. But I like them to rebound against Arizona, very, very weak Arizona team.
I'm a Herm Edwards fan. I like Herm.
He's got nothing
Arizona
but
State.
NFL coaches on his staff. It's ridiculous.
Right.
So there's those are some of the bets that we like in college football. We'll be back to talk pros after these words from our partner. Well, pros.
Yeah.
I didn't say the Lions. I said
the Lions.
Pros. after these words from our fine partners on Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, where all these gambling bets in college and pro football are available right now. We are back on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, yes, the Lions, the performance that the Lions put on is reminiscent of what they've done all year.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did. They outplayed the Bears. They were the better team on the field.
Forget about statistics.
Yep. They were a better team than the Bears, other than turnovers in the red zone. You know, people have been screaming at Dan Campbell about, you know, going for it in so many places. Well, if he'd kicked field goals, they would have won the football game.
He's damned if he doesn't.
Is that right?
No, he wants to win, period.
Yep.
And I think this team wants to win. I think that's part of the problem. When you want something so bad. You know, the juice is in their fingers a little bit.
I like that, frankly.
So do I.
I like it. And he's showing confidence in his players. The players don't make the play, that's their problem. But at least he's giving them an opportunity to make those plays.
Right. He's showing confidence in
the offense and
a lack of confidence in his defense, knowing he needs to score X number of points
in this
game.
That's right.
You know, and what had happened prior to that is that it had shown first couple of his defense couldn't stop Chicago.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like, all right, we got to go for it.
With that quarterback who struggled so much. You know, if you wanted the game given to you in a gold platter, silver platter, it was there for the taking. It looked like they were going to take it, and then it all...
And you saw what a defense is with playmakers, the Bears have.
Gosh,
they got playmakers, the Lions don't, and they make
the Lions
big
plays. Injuries are no excuse.
Yeah.
A lot of teams have injuries, but Okara goes down.
But look at the injuries to the... You mentioned Okwara, Jeff Okuda, in game one. You got Taylor Decker out, Frank Ragg now out. Now it looks like Penei Sewell is out. That's their three best offensive linemen.
Yep.
And Romeo Okwara, and also the wide receiver.
What is going on with Decker?
He had a finger surgery.
What the hell?
This is going to miss his fifth game. He's an offensive lineman. What do?
They put that club on you.
Yeah, you put it on and you can't use your hands anyway.
Yeah, El Cabon people in the helmet with it.
El Cabon. Well, the game has gone from 7.5 to 10.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, people are whoring money in on the Vikings.
Yep.
And with the injury report that you just read, Keith, there's not a lot to like about the Lions, but that's just still a massive amount of points in a division game.
Yeah. And the Lions, don't play terrible at Minnesota. They've had decent success there in recent years. So, but, boy, the Vikings are really struggling. They're 1-3. The media there is already saying if they don't win this game, that their coach could be the first guy fired in this season.
Yeah, they were really looking forward to this being the year, and then they start. Didn't they just get their first win last week?
No.
Minnesota, was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike Zimmer.
Well, they had Arizona on the ropes. And they Arizona came back, and I think two of their games they've lost in overtime. I don't know much about the Vikings. You know, they I can't tell you that. You know, I know Kirk Cousins is starting for them.
Right.
Dalvin Cook is either in or out of the lineup. One of the most often injured guys in football.
But spectacular when he's
some
in.
Some good defensive players. You know, Anthony Barr, who I thought I always wanted the Lions to draft.
UCLA alum.
Yeah. But that's just 9.5 points is a ton of points.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got to like the Lions to hang in. They've hung in every game.
I know.
They haven't covered the spread, but they've hung in every game. Yeah.
That's right.
We liked them to win last week, and like we said, they should have won.
Even though they started horribly in that game, it looked like they were going to get blown out, and then all of a sudden they come back again and then make it a respectable, tough game.
So let's go through the rest of the sheet, Keith. You've got it in front of you.
Well, the next on my list is the Jets at Atlanta. Atlanta 2.5-point favorites.
In
or minus
London.
Two and a half.
Oh, that's
in
right.
In London, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I like the Jets. With the points.
Do you?
Yeah.
You know, those poor people in London, they like their NFL football. They have yet to see a game. They have 19 or 20 games there of two teams, both with winning records. Yeah. They haven't had one of those games yet there. And they're not going to get one this year either with the Jets.
Scraps every time. Here they go, London.
Go ahead.
The Saints, you got the Saints playing the Washington Justice.
Yeah.
And... what is it? 2.5. I can't figure the Saints out.
No,
what the
no,
hell's going on with those guys?
They're up and down. They're it's crazy. Yeah, have no idea what's
they look
going.
So good one week.
Yeah,
and then, really
and then they're horrible.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah.
So if you're going on that theory, they should romp.
They should. Yeah.
I do like the Saints, given a 2.5. The Patriots. This is going to be an interesting game. After you know. That was a fantastic football game.
It was. Yeah. It was. I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
You know, yep. Brady figured out how to win. Belichick, that defense had so many problems. You know, what was a glaring omission in that game is Gronkowski.
Right.
Yeah. He missed him big time.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to it.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about for Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
The ultimate security blanket.
I think the
Bucks win easily if Gronkowski is healthy in that field.
Completely.
Yeah. But the Texans have been pesky.
Yeah.
I give them all the credit in the world. People thought they would go, you know, might lose every single game.
Right.
And they're playing at home.
They're playing at home.
They're getting 8.5?
They're getting 9.5.
Nine and a half.
Whoa.
Woo. Let me double check the, I want to just update that. It's 8.5.
I got 8.5.
Yeah. That's still a lot of points.
Yep.
And I think you're going to see the Pats on a hangover.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. So it's not my lock of the week, but... And then on the inverse, you got the same thing going on. The Bucks are giving the Dolphins 9.5. I think you'll see a headache there. I like the Dolphins a lot. Although, Jacoby Brissett was awful.
Last week, what happened? I mean, that's...
Tua playing?
I don't even know. Did he get benched or no? Was he hurt?
No, he had his ribs.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah. But no, that's a surprise because that Miami defense... You know, come into the season was good, but man, they're struggling right now.
What do you got? Tampa Bay minus what? 10?
9.
9.
9.5.
I mean,
yeah.
I like Tampa Bay in this game.
I like them to win, but I don't like them to cover that many points.
Yeah.
They're going to have a hangover as well.
Do we know if Gronkowski's playing?
No, he's not playing.
He's not playing. Okay. And they have no DBs.
I like your bet.
Well, what is it? They get. What's his name?
Richard Sherman.
Played with one day of practice.
Yes.
And got an interception.
I mean, incredible.
What are the Patriots giving away Stephon Gilmore for?
They couldn't come to an agreement on a contract.
I don't care. The guy was the defensive MVP of the league.
I know.
Why didn't Detroit trade for that? Seventh-round pick?
Oh, I would have traded a third-round pick for him.
They got a sixth-round pick for him.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, because the Lions aren't smart.
That's exactly the hole that the Lions need to fill.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah. What do we get? The Titans, who are hard to figure, are giving 3.5 to the
urban
the proctologists.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer.
Oh.
Wow, what a
Did
guy!
Did you see those photos?
What are those? Stings?
How drunk was he? Oh. Did you see? There's one of those pictures where he's got that complete glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His wife knows that look.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's been going on for a long time.
But
long time.
He was out to dinner with the grandkids and his wife. That's
Jim Harbaugh was absolutely right when he said, trouble follows that guy wherever he goes.
Wherever he goes.
He's lucky he's still employed today,
yep.
I think.
Well, when they get run out of the building... by the Titans tomorrow. I don't know if he'll last the season.
Yeah.
And
right.
If he doesn't, is he bound for USC?
Good call.
If he goes to USC, Shelly has got to be divorcing him.
Exactly.
In that
Southern
environment.
Yeah, you see what he's doing in Columbus, Ohio.
You see co-eds running around? I mean, that's the story why he left Florida.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, needless to say, I like the Titans. Giving 3.5 to, it's up to 4.5. Another line that's moved.
How are you picking Denver, Pittsburgh? Pick them. Or was there a favor?
I would go, Pittsburgh.
I mean, I don't see how, Ben is toast.
They can't run the ball.
Well, they can't protect. It's the offensive line, and Denver has a great front seven.
Yes.
But I don't think that's my lock of the week, guys. Is the Bears, and the Raiders
at Las Vegas. Vegas minus 5.5, or what? What do you got?
I'm getting the update right now. Yeah, it's 5.5 still. Fields looked fine against that Detroit defense.
Yes,
they should have lost the game. The that front. With Crosby and everything else for the Raiders.
Steals the Nash.
That's a way better defense than what the Lions have. Yeah. And the Raiders' offense is way better than the Lions. And I don't see the Bears staying anywhere near the Raiders. So that's my bet of the week, giving 5.5 at home to the Bears, who just are mystifying to me.
How are you calling Buffalo and Kansas City?
This is a really problematic
game.
It is, football game.
The Chiefs have got to win. I mean, they can't go 1-3.
No, you're right.
But the Bill, and it's hard to really tell how great the Bills are. I mean, they lost to Pittsburgh the first game, and then they've just slaughtered the other three teams who are all bad.
Yeah.
So. And it's in Kansas City.
Yep, it is.
I like the Chiefs.
To cover 2.5?
Yeah. Is it still 2.5? I just wanted to make sure about that. It's 3 now.
Okay.
That's the ever threatening. A lot of people like the Giants getting a touchdown against the Cowboys.
Dallas has looked good.
In Dallas?
I mean...
They have looked good. The offense looks really good.
The Giants looked a hell of a lot better against New Orleans. They're starting to run the ball. Barkley looks better.
Yeah.
The defense looks better. 7 points in a division game is tough. But, the Cowboys, I don't know. I wouldn't bet the house on this game either way.
Yeah.
It's a tough game to call. You know, these games are all tough to call. You know, it's hard betting on the NFL.
That Dallas offense really has been impressive.
Another game that I like a ton, especially it's been bet down a point, is the Giants getting 4.5 from the Cardinals. It was just like the main reason why I liked the Rams last night is because they had lost a divisional game in what is going to be the toughest division in football.
Yes.
And you cannot lose those games. I like the Giants to rebound and beat the Cardinals outright.
Beat them.
So the Giants are playing the Cardinals?
Yeah.
And then who's Dallas playing?
Dallas is playing the Giants.
Okay.
Another interesting game is the Browns and the Chargers, guys.
Yeah. That's good.
Chargers 2.5.
Really good.
2.5. Yep. Baker Mayfield's not been playing very good football.
No.
But they've got all those pieces around them. You know, in that defense, Myles Garrett and the rest of that defense, that Browns defense is pretty good. I like the under a ton here. The under is 47.5. The Chargers have a pretty damn good defense as well. I see this as a really low-scoring game. The Browns are going to really depend on running the football.
Yes.
And the Browns can put a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert. You saw that in that Raiders game. That was a great football game.
It was.
What did the Raiders have in the first half? The Chargers defense completely bottlenecked them. They had 65 yards of total offense in the first half.
Right.
I see this as another real low-scoring game. What haven't we touched here? Why are the Bengals only getting 3.5 from the Packers?
3.5 now?
Yeah.
3. I agree. They're at Cincinnati, home field advantage against.
I know.
Roses look good.
He's looked really good coming off that horrible knee injury.
The Packers picked up. You know, we were talking about Stephon Gilmore. The Packers got Jaylon Smith.
I saw that after he got caught by Dallas.
I don't know what Dallas was thinking. All of a sudden, our defense is great, so let's get rid of one of our linebackers. It doesn't make any sense. Jaylon Smith is the kid from Notre Dame that got his knee destroyed
in
the bowl
game.
Yeah. And I think he'll be a help for the Packers. I think the Packers look like they have got it figured out.
Yeah. Easily cover 3.5.
Well, you know, I think the Bengals are getting better. There's no doubt about it. But I don't have any clue what that defense is like. So you're going to find out in a hurry, right?
Because, yes.
Your buddy Aaron is back.
He is.
Sure is.
Oh yeah.
Playing good football.
Yep. And then, we'll talk about Monday. On Monday.
There you go. That game is Indianapolis at Baltimore, -7.
Yeah. I don't know. The Colts are hard to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ravens are pretty banged up. We got some messages from our fine partners here on Friday Faceoff. We'll be back with a little discussion of high school football. We'll have James Cook on from the Record Eagle and then slide into the Pigskin Preview. All that and more, but we do want to talk about heavyweight boxing. Fury and Wilder are back in the ring this Saturday to complete their epic trilogy, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers exclusive 30-1 odds on either fighter to win. That's right. Now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot because you can win $150 on a $5 bet. My money is I like Wilder.
You do?
I do. He's got a new trainer.
Right.
And these guys are pretty evenly matched.
Fury put on 20 pounds, too. That's concerning.
Yeah. To win the bout.
Yeah. With FanDuel in your corner, you'll always get exclusive odds, boosts, great promotions, and so much more. That's why they're America's number one sports book. It's easy to use, safe, secure. You can get paid in as little as 24 hours when you win.
Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WGRY to get in on the action. That's promo code WGRY, 21 and present in Michigan. To play, new users only, $10 first deposit required, must wager in designated offer market, max bonus $150, restrictions apply, see full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7110 for confidential help.
That's 21 and over, you must be 21 and over to a gamble on FanDuel. Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins, and on the phone with James Cook from the Record Eagle. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
We know what we want to talk about in high school, but we thought we'd check in with the Record Eagle Sports Department. What are you looking at this weekend?
Tonight I'll be up in Mansalona for the Mansalona Boyne City game. Mansalona's 5-0, Boyne City's 5-1.
The Mighty Ironmen.
Two really good teams.
You know, I ran into a dad. I think I told you this. One of the dads who's got a son on the football team, and they put all the JV, everything is into this Mansalona program.
Right.
And it's good to see them back because they did 2 years ago, they went down to 8-man for 1 year. So, and they're back.
Okay.
So, you know, they have a rich football tradition there
they
in Mansalona. I know you've got to have that game on your radar as well, Rich.
I did, yes, for sure. Actually, there's quite a few games around the North that are really good. And, James, I don't know about this one, but it might be outside your coverage zone a little bit. But in the Jack Pine, Gladwin takes on Clare, and that's really going to be a huge game.
Yeah, this is outside of our coverage area, but yeah, I know Gladwin's ranked in the top 10. Clare's been a team that's been getting some votes in that poll as well. So, you know, both of those teams on the statewide level are getting a little bit of attention. So that's a good matchup. Another really good one is Sutton's Bay at Marion.
Yeah.
That's two 6-0 teams in A player, both ranked in the top 10, and they're ranked number 5 and 6. So you can't get much closer than that. They're
wow.
They're only separated by 2 votes in the poll.
Yeah, that is amazing, James. And also, 2 undefeated teams tonight, Pelston in the Ski Valley. They're 6-0, taking on Inland Lakes at 6-0. That's going to be a great game.
Inland Lakes has been in the dumps for a long time, so it's good to see them having a winning record.
Yeah, and then Pelston's a team, too, that, I mean, like a decade ago was you know, really having some bad seasons and just couldn't get things going. I remember one story about Pelston when I used to work at the paper in Gaylord, like 20-some years ago. They played a game against Gaylord St. Mary, and they were getting beaten so bad at halftime of that game that the coach asked the kids at halftime if they wanted to keep playing.
Oh.
Or after the game, like if they wanted to keep playing the rest of the season.
Yeah.
If like that's how bad
been,
it was.
If they've, any team has come a long way. From moving to eight-man, it's been Pelston.
Yes.
Yeah. That
yeah,
being right near the airport, they have that air raid offense. Who else you got, Rich?
All right. Also another game that, of course, high-powered Traverse City St. Francis, they got to travel over the bridge to take on a tough Sault Ste. Marie team.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of a revenge game for St. Francis. I think, you know, all the players preach about how they, you know, looking one game at a time and all this stuff, but I think that Sault Ste. Marie and Kingsley have been two of the games at the end of their schedule that they've really been looking forward to, because those are the two teams that beat them last year during the regular season. And then, you know, and Sault Ste. Marie was to start the season off. So that was a big surprise for them as they started 1-2 last season.
Well, that Kingsley game, that's the last game of the year. That's going to be massive. The Sioux has been really good this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that trip, you can never discount that bus ride.
No,
Rich.
Yes.
What
the teams
about,
that take
about a 3.5-hour bus ride from Traverse City to the Sioux. And
those long bus rides. The teams that have those long rides, they almost always come out flat in the first half.
Oh, that's what we're worried about with Traverse City West next week.
Going up to Marquette.
Yeah,
because
they've been a slow starter.
They have.
But they got Gaylord tonight, right?
They do. Yep, yeah, hosting Gaylord at Thurlby Field.
They shouldn't have any issues with Gaylord. You know, Gaylord's played hard.
They have. Give Gaylord some credit, man. They're playing really good defense overall.
Yeah, they are.
Hey guys, if you don't mind, I'm going to excuse myself. Yeah. I've got a lot of prep work to do.
Well,
a lot of prep work to do.
Just really struggled in the press conference.
Floats tonight, okay?
Okay, just be ready for game on.
All right.
You bet. All right. Go ahead, James. Sorry about that. We're going to slide into we're going to slide from Friday face-off into the Pigskin preview. Thanks to Odawa Casino for sponsoring Friday face-off. But, we still got a few more minutes to talk about a big slate of high school games. So what else is on your radar tonight, James?
Traverse City Central plays Alpena. If TC Central plays that game, you know, Alpena hasn't been doing great this season or anything, but if Traverse City Central wins that game, they win the Big North Conference outright.
Yep.
Right.
And of note that that's the last year, basically, of the Big North Conference.
the last conference championship, right, yeah.
Alpena played for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. And in other Big North, the other Big North game is Petoskey travels down to Cadillac.
Yeah, that should be a really good game. I mean, I think that Cadillac has to be the favorite in that game.
Right.
But, you know, Petoskey's been kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team this season. They had that 3-0 start, and then they've kind of sputtered a little bit, but they can get back to the way they started the season. You know, they're a team that can give anybody a game.
Right. And let's see, some other Benzie Central travels to Sheboygan, Kingsley at Ogemaw Heights, and Grayling travels over to the east side of the state to take on Tawas.
Yeah, I think Grayling's got to be pretty favored in that one. Benzie still has hopes of making the playoffs. They're looking, if they win this game against Sheboygan, then they've got the Sioux and Grayling, and if they can beat those two, they would get a decent amount of playoff points from that,
right,
and have some chances of sneaking into the playoffs. But they're going to need to win this game against Sheboygan without a couple of key starters that are out with injuries.
Right. And Gaylord St. Mary's, they travel up to the east side of the UP, taking on Cedarville.
That's a new game, team for them. I don't think I don't remember ever playing Cedarville.
Right.
Maybe Cedarville just moved to eight-man.
Could be. Yeah.
Because I couldn't tell you where Cedarville is.
Right on the water. Head east over the bridge.
The southern part of the eastern UP, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you go to the bridge and take a right.
Yep.
it sounds like a lot of our local teams will be stopping at your favorite burger joint there.
They will. Clyde's. Highly recommended.
Have you had a Clyde's burger there, James?
Oh, yeah. Whenever we go through the UP, we usually stop there. They had that one double hamburger.
Yes.
The French fries are great. Those fries are so good.
The white fish is amazing.
And the chocolate shake.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
That is a old-fashioned, great mom-and-pop hamburger stand that you just don't find much anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of those great places where, you know, they make it right there in front of you. You can sit there and watch your hamburger being made
eight feet
away from you.
The funny thing is, especially if it's on a Friday or a Saturday, there's always another football team in there.
Yeah, it's true. Yep.
If they had beer, it would be heaven.
I just wanted to go over some of the details of this Gladwin-Clair matchup real quick. Now, Gladwin hasn't beat Clair since 1981.
Wow.
Yeah.
They play each other every year?
They do now. There was a period of time where Gladwin went to the Northeast Michigan Conference, so they weren't in the Jack Pine. So there were some years they weren't playing each other. But still, 81, that's obviously a long time.
Yeah.
Remember, this Gladwin team is really high. So they averaged 61 points a game.
And they've only given up how
18.
Many? 18 points.
And that was in one game. They have five shutouts the rest of the way. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And where's the game? Is it Gladwin?
It's at Clair.
Oh.
At Clair. And the Gladwin head coach, Mark Johnstrafer, he's a Clair alum and spent 12 years on the Clair coaching staff.
Wow.
So there's a whole lot more into this game than just the good record.
Like Brady and Belichick.
Oh, exactly. At the high school level. No, it's going to be a great matchup. It's the last regular season home game for Clair. They're going to be motivated. It'll be a great, great game.
And I'm almost thinking about going down there.
Beautiful facilities, field turf down at Clair. They have a Dow alum that lives in the community, made a nice donation for their beautiful field, so that's a nice thing to have.
Is there a Clyde's nearby?
There is not.
No equivalent?
No, I'm trying to think of, there is the, Cops and Donuts stopped making their deli sandwiches, which was unfortunate. They had a great deli going on in there for a while. But, you know, when you get to be my age, James, the eating is almost as important as the game itself.
Oh, I hear you. I usually at every football or basketball game I go to, I get some popcorn at whatever stadium I'm at, and I give it a grade and rate it. And it's just kind of become a thing with me at every game I go to.
Anything else on your radar, James, before we let you go? What have you got? Anything else on the radar, and what do you have for the Get Around podcast?
Yeah. We're looking at maybe having some of the golfers that qualified for the state finals on the podcast this weekend. We haven't finalized that yet, but one story that we had in today's paper is a story about the MHSAA considering altering the football playoffs again and letting everyone in.
Oh God!
Maybe starting in like 2 years.
No way.
It's something that's just under a proposal, but it's something that's kind of gaining traction.
Wow. I did not hear that. That's interesting.
How many more games did that add to the playoffs?
I know. They did it last year, remember? But remember, not all the teams, they had dropped out some because of COVID, so you didn't have the full allotment of football
teams. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So they would take 1 week off of the regular season, so everybody would play eight games in the regular season, and then they would add 1 week to the playoffs to be able to get everybody in.
It's not like basketball.
It isn't like basketball. And by the end of the year, man, I was at Traverse City West practice yesterday, and you know my son played football,
right?
And even with an 8 or 9 game schedule, by the end of the year, these kids are worn down.
Yes.
And that's why you see some huge upsets in the playoffs, is because one team just doesn't have it anymore.
Right.
I think it's almost unconscionable that they think about doing that. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was in high school, they didn't even have playoffs.
Right.
They had a fantasy.
Right, like a mythical state championship.
Yeah, the mythical state championship. Yeah. With, you know, Brother Rice, 1974, mythical state champion.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. But also,
the proposal that's out there wouldn't add any games to the schedule. It would take 1 game away from the regular season and add 1 game to the playoffs.
Right.
So it'd be the same amount of games for everybody. But and teams that, you know, if you're 0-9 and you're playing a 9-0 team, which is probably going to happen, you could always just opt out,
right,
and not play the game.
Okay.
Okay.
I on a real quick note before we close out here, congratulations to TC Central's Josh Burnham being chosen to play in the All-American Bowl at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio January 8th of this year.
That's a huge honor.
Oh, it is a huge. I mean, in that game, 13 future Heisman Trophy finalists have played in that game, 496 draft picks, and 174 Pro Bowl selections. So that is a huge honor to play in that high school All-Star game.
Well, we've seen him play. He is a force.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a reason why he's going to Notre Dame.
Yep.
They could have used him against Cincinnati.
Yeah. The thing is, if you sit there and watch him on defense, I mean, on offense, it's remarkable what he's done because he hasn't naturally been a quarterback his whole career. He's been a linebacker. But
right.
on defense, if you just watch him, he is just always where the ball is,
right,
which is amazing because the other offense is always trying to run away from him.
Yeah, but, you know, and you're right, James, but the thing is that he kind of directs the defense. Like, mm-hmm. he is always on the ball. He's not always making all the tackles. Like, it seems like he'll defer to the other defensive players to make sure they get their fair share of action until he actually has to make a huge play. You know, he's kind of like a LeBron James or Michael Jordan, where he allows the game to come to himself until he actually needs to make a huge play, whether it's on offense or defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's just always near the ball. And the thing is, you know, every offense that plays Traverse City Central is game planning for Josh Burnham.
Right.
Well,
and
got a
and Carson
of good
Porter.
Players back there.
You know, there's game plan for those two guys.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're still always making plays is a testament to how good those players are.
Yeah, they're a very good team. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't match up with DeWitt in the state finals this year.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, as a tentatively right now, some playoff
game.
They're looking. I'm sorry, they're looking like they could be a number one seed in Division Two, obviously.
Is DeWitt in Division Two? No, they're Division
Three.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
Yes,
so they wouldn't see each other in the
So they would be in right as of right now. They would be again. Traverse City Central would host a playoff game against Saginaw Heritage, and then also in that same District One would be Midland Dow and Bay City Western. So, but that's a winnable bracket for Central, no question about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They are an impressive football team.
Yeah.
And as James pointed out, they are probably wrapping up their last division title here before they move on to. What is the name of the conference they're moving to?
The Saginaw Valley.
Saginaw Valley, right. All right, James, thanks for joining us on the Pigskin Preview. Enjoy your game tonight, and we'll look forward to the Get Around podcast.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
See you, bud.
Did we cover everything?
We did.
Wow.
I know. Exactly. A lot of action.
I'm going to go take a nap.
I know. I am, too, because we do have a lot of great action around the North tonight.
Yep.
I mean, just truly a lot of good games.
Rolling into the playoffs, we will recap all the action from tonight. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock right here on the High School Scoreboard Show, which is brought to us by Bill Marsh. And Rich will also have a look at
the playoffs. Hopefully that will all be updated as of the games tonight. I really hope it is.
I know you got to do a lot of homework. It's not the easiest thing in the world to figure all that out, especially since the MHSAA is not really completely up to date on updating their website.
It takes a while for them to update that stuff.
Well, there's a lot of games.
Oh, there is. When you cover the whole state of Michigan, there's a whole lot of data coming in.
No doubt. So we'll be with you here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. For the High School Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio. And we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening to Friday Face Off.